The following program is brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
It's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new 50,000-watt radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's the host of Between the Minutes, Peter Radotti.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Radotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. Computer Corner is going to be short this week because I want to spend more time with our guest, who's an expert on banking fraud, which happens to be this week's Computer Corner topic. Today's topic is ACH fraud. You may know ACH better as electronic funds transfer. ACH is short for Automated Clearinghouse. It's how many people do direct deposit of their paychecks. Many people are familiar with the fact that funds transfer has replaced checks in many circumstances. Just as everyone knows about check fraud, such as was portrayed in the movie Catch Me If You Can, that paper check fraud has now been translated into ACH wire fraud. While that's interesting, it's not today's story, which is about a new type of ACH wire fraud. In this case, cyber crooks break into a computer owned by a business or government, then directs the computer to transfer all the money in the bank using fraudulent ACH transfers. All the money is gone in a blink of an eye, but there are legal problems as to who's responsible. Is the bank responsible? They transferred the money to the crooks, but the bank was only following directions from the customer's computer. Is the victim responsible? Well, the victim didn't set up the system which was used to steal the money. The victim only operated a computer that played according to the rules and regulations governing the ACH network as established by the former National Automated Clearinghouse Association and the Federal Reserve back in 2002. Who's responsible and who's going to eat the loss? If one of the regulating bodies doesn't step in and set up rules, then it's going to be decided by the courts. According to CSO Security and Risk Online magazine, the Pennsylvania Western Beaver County School District lost a lot of money from ACH fraud between December 29th and January 2nd while they were closed for the holidays. The crooks broke into their computer and transferred the money using ACH. While the crooks stole over $700,000, the bank was able to reverse some of the transfers, but the school district was still out over $400,000. Not a bad Christmas present for the crooks. Western Beaver was not the only victim. A Texas company was robbed of $1.2 million. According to the FBI, ACH fraud committed by crooks is worth about $100 million in attempted losses. CSO reports that typically this all starts with an email that contains a virus which opens a door for the crooks to enter the accounting system. The FBI has stated that analysis identified more than two dozen different pieces of malware, sometimes called viruses, on the victim's computers, all containing keyloggers. A keylogger is a program that records everything you type in, or just specific things that you type in, such as your account name and passwords to your online banking account. How do you defend yourself from these types of attacks? Well, here's some simple rules. One, make sure that your computer patches are up to date. Two, install, keep up to date, and actually run a good antivirus program. I suggest the one sold by CyberSoft, which you can demo at www.cyber.com. Three, don't use your accounting system to read email, browse the internet, or play online games. Four, when the computer that contains the accounting system is not in use, turn it off. If you can't turn it off because of backups or other maintenance needs, then at least take it off the network when it's not in use. This could be as simple as unplugging the network cable or putting a network hub between the network and the computer, which is operated by a convenient switch. While this network trick won't help too much with stopping keyloggers, it will limit the amount of time a crook actually has to gain access to your computer. So remember, if you need a good antivirus program for your home or office computer, let me suggest a product sold by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. You can download a free 30-day demo from their website at www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Here's an important announcement. If you sustain damage from frozen pipes, water damage, don't leave yourself at the mercy of your insurance company. Call Hillis Public Adjusters. We represent you, the policyholder. Hillis negotiates directly with your insurance company to get you the most money you're entitled to, maybe thousands of extra dollars. And the Hillis fee is based on a percentage of the settlement. It costs you nothing until your claim is settled. It's that simple. You wouldn't be your own lawyer. So why negotiate directly with your insurance company? Call 1-800-HILLIS-1. When you have a claim, your insurance company is the last place to call because they want to settle the claim for as little as possible. That's why you should call Hillis Public Adjusters. They'll appraise the damage, do all the paperwork, and negotiate your settlement. If your home or business was damaged, call Hillis Public Adjusters anytime, day or night, at 1-800-HILLIS-1. Why settle for less? Call Hillis first. Call 1-800-HILLIS-1.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. Between the Minutes reaches a large listening audience throughout the Tri-State area with 50,000 watts of power. You could increase your selling power by advertising on the Between the Minutes program. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Before we start the second half of Between the Minutes, let me say congratulations to Pennsylvania's new governor, Tom Corbett, who is sworn into office today. My hardworking team at Between the Minutes will have to see about getting the governor on the program. Let's get back to today's show and guest and on Between the Minutes, and I welcome Charles Hayes, branch bank manager of Citizens Bank. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for having me.
I'm very pleased to have you. You heard the computer corner where we were talking about the ACH fraud. Can you add to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think one of the things that happens is, you know, especially with the amount of online fraud out there today, customers really need to be vigilant about watching their accounts. So, you know, when you talked about the school district that had, you know, gotten their accounts broken into, one of the things that they could have done was set up online alerts so that they'd be aware of large type of transactions that would be happening, especially during, you know, a holiday week when the school district is closed.
What's an online alert?
It's a thing that a customer can set up through their online banking, and what it does is it alerts them if there's either large transactions. They set what they call thresholds. They can set a balance threshold if the balance goes below a certain amount or above a certain amount. They can set transaction thresholds so that if they know, you know, if a larger transaction is going to come through, they'll be made aware of it.
Is that expensive to do or difficult?
It's free and it's easy. You know, it just takes about 5 minutes, and they can either be alerted by email or by text message.
Wow. And is this available to only businesses or individuals too?
Businesses and consumers both.
Wow. How come I haven't heard of this before? Is it unusual?
It seems to be prevalent in most of the online banking systems that are out there. I think a lot of times what happens is either the bank itself hasn't educated their employees enough about it, or the employees haven't educated the customers enough about it.
What about non-online banking? What about people who just use a check?
People that use a check, you know, one of the things they definitely want to do is check their statements on a monthly basis, you know, making sure that there's no transactions that they don't recognize. You know, a lot of times, especially with ACH, check conversion is a big thing where, you know, you write out a paper check and they convert it into an electronic payment or an automated clearinghouse payment. When they do that, it will show up on your statement in a different spot. And I know a lot of customers aren't prepared for that. And they do come in and they do ask questions about it.
But people do generally know how much money is supposed to be in their account. And, you know, if they see that, you know, hey, I'm supposed to have $2,000 here and I've got 5 cents, they know something went wrong, even if they don't know what.
Correct. And I think the important part to say is that if customers do see that they should definitely contact their financial institution immediately.
What else should, let's start with consumers. What else should consumers do to protect their banking?
Well, one of the suggestions that I often give is to set up a separate account used for electronic payments. By doing that, you limit the exposure that you have to your funds, and you know, it allows you to do transactions either electronically or even by paper check, but it prevents, it limits your exposure basically. So if you're gonna write out $5,000 worth of checks this month, you can transfer those funds into that check paying account or your payment account. And what that does is it limits your exposure.
What about businesses? Can they do that too?
Businesses can do the same thing. And I think it's, you know, oftentimes a lot of businesses, what they'll do is they'll separate out different pieces of their business. So, you know, their merchant services or their credit card acceptance will be separate. Their bill pays or their payroll account will be separate. I think that's definitely something that businesses should look into as well.
What about debit cards versus credit cards? What's the risks there?
The risk with the debit card is when the transaction happens on your account, it will come out of your account. It could take up to 10 days for the financial institution to do its investigation and come back with it was fraud and replace the funds in your account. You know, with a credit card, the funds are out there, they're on hold, but you won't get charged for them. So, you know, if you had fraud on your account and your account was broken into, can you live without those funds for 10 days? That's a good question to ask yourself.
Well, if you're using a credit card, your limit is just $50.
Correct. Oh, on the bank side, you're not liable for any of the fraud.
So that's Citizens Bank, but is that the law or is that just how Citizens Bank?
It would be the same thing. It would be the $50 limit. That's what the law is. Most of the financial institutions don't make the consumer be responsible for anything.
Now, ATM cards.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of ATM cards are also debit cards, but mine's not. Mine's strictly an ATM card.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend that for people?
I think that's one option that you can go with. They can still be subject to fraud. There's things out there called skimmers that are placed on ATMs where, you know, the fraudster will actually put on to the machine a thing that actually picks up your card and your PIN number as you're putting it in.
In fact, they just picked up a gang of people doing that in Montgomery County, was it last week?
Okay.
You know, And I don't know which banks they hit, but they were hitting the ATM machines at banks.
Yeah, so I mean, there's definitely a risk there as well.
Yeah. But if you know what you're doing, I mean, what I tell people to do is learn what your ATM looks like. And if suddenly there's something that looks different that's not supposed to be there, you know, don't trust it. Go in the bank and say, hey, look at this. Or at the very minimum, you know, if it's sticking out, grab it and see if it's just being held on with two-sided tape. If it is, call the police.
I think that's excellent advice. Or go into the financial institution and let the bank know, hey, there's something weird about the ATM today.
Yeah. What other kind of fraud do you generally see in banking?
You know, there's the ACH fraud, debit card fraud, online banking fraud, and then also check fraud, which, you know, a lot of people think that checks are a safe way to conduct transactions. But if you think about it, when you write a check out, the information that's on there, your name, your address, your account number, your routing number. So there's a lot of information that's out there, and those checks are subject to fraud as well.
Now, I understand that I can actually go to my office supply store and buy a package of just blank checks with nothing on it, and it comes with software, and I can actually design and make checks on my printer at home. Is that true?
That is true.
So what stops me from making checks for your account if I know your account number and bank routing number?
That often happens, especially when the fraudsters get a hold of that information.
Wow. Are these professional crooks, or are these like kids, you know, or is it a mix of everything?
I think it's a mix of everything, similar to what you were saying about the ATM fraud, you know, a gang of people, a group of people that will kind of get together and create these fraud, or an individual, similar to the movie Catch Me If You Can.
Well, that was one guy, you know, and he happened to be very, very good. He was unusual. In fact, he now works for banks as a consultant. His whole thing is going to banks, and the banks invite a lot of their customers to a local hotel where he'll come out and speak about check fraud. And I know this because, you know, we attended one.
Okay.
It was pretty interesting, you know, and the guy's a good speaker. But you know, what about things like, do people have to worry about, you know, going to the deposit drop box or the ATM machine and getting mugged and grab the card and the money?
Those things do happen. I think, you know, one of the things that customers can do is make sure that they're vigilant. I think there's a lot of in-store ATMs that are out there, you know, whether you're talking about inside of a convenience store or a supermarket. Those tend to be a little safer just because there's more people around. You know, an outside ATM. If you can go to a drive-through ATM, I think that's probably one of your safest bets.
I do remember a story. Well, it's not a story. It actually happened. At one point, somebody was just selling ATM machines to anybody. And a number of crooks purchased some ATM machines. And what they did was they reprogrammed the ATM machine so that it would accept the card, accept the PIN, and then spit out a out-of-service message, and then eject the card. And what these guys did was they, you know, put on some uniforms, and they rolled it into a mall, plugged it in, turned it on, and left. And then a week later, came in and picked it up and rolled it out, and they had hundreds and hundreds of cards in there.
I think I remember hearing about that as well. You know, if you can use a branded ATM, you know, with your financial institution's logo on it, I think that's always a safer bet. But it is important to make sure that you're aware of what's going on. And if that does happen, contact your financial institution immediately.
Now, what about ATM machines inside convenience stores? I can tell you that on the 4th of July weekend last year, the bank ATM machines were just empty, and I went to a local convenience store. I paid $3. I got the money I needed, and off I went.
Most of those tend to be branded now as well. A lot of the little, I would say, mom and pop ATM companies out there have started to pull away from issuing their own ATMs, and the financial institutions have started to fill that void now. I know we just added Sunoco as a partner, and we put up, I think, 3,500 ATMs out there.
At their gas stations?
In the Sunoco gas stations.
Oh, okay, wow. So, you know, anybody that's listening, if you're going to Sunoco, that's actually a Citizens Bank ATM, and it's safe.
Yep.
Okay. What about using your cards at the supermarket, at the gas station, at all these other places where there's a lot of traffic and people can be watching what you're doing?
I often will say the easiest way to do it is a swipe and sign. So you swipe your card, especially if it's branded either Visa or MasterCard on your debit card, and sign your name. Part of the reason for that is on the back of your card, you can sign your name, but you can also write, please ask for ID. By doing that, it's another level of protection for yourself. So I think that's always a good advice to have.
So, if you have a debit card, you're saying you have the option to sign instead of putting in a PIN?
You do.
Okay, and how do people enforce that?
Well, when you go to the store, they're going to ask you debit or credit.
Right.
And debit would mean you put your PIN number in, and credit would mean that you swiped and
signed. So if you have a debit card and you don't want to put in the PIN, you push the credit even though it's a debit card?
That's correct.
And then you can sign.
And then you can sign. And that limits somebody from looking over your shoulder. They call it shoulder surfing, where they're able to look over your shoulder and pick up your PIN number and, maybe pick up your card number as well.
Okay. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. Check us out on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Back to our guest. What else can people do to protect themselves?
Well, I think one of the things that they can definitely do is pay attention to their bank statements. And I said that a little earlier. A lot of times people get bank statements in the mail, and they'll tend to put them off to the side, and I'll get to it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and goes, and it's been 3 months maybe since they looked at a bank statement. That seems to be the way that the world's going today, especially with the availability of ATMs.
And everybody's busy. And it's hard.
It's very difficult to sit down and balance your checkbook at the end of the month.
What about people who don't understand their statement? How do they deal with that? Can they go to the bank with the statement and say, hey, make me understand this?
Yeah, every bank will be more than willing to do that with a customer.
Have you had any experience doing it? Do people actually come in and say, hey, I don't understand this statement, help me?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes, especially when maybe they're a new customer or a younger customer, or sometimes when they're an older customer. Oftentimes, one spouse will run the checking account, and if that spouse passes away, the other spouse is maybe confused about how to balance their checkbook, and that's something that I know we do on a regular basis over at the bank.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly understand that. You've been in banking how long?
12 years.
12 years, that's a long time. You must have some horror stories.
There's definitely some horror stories out there.
Are any of them shareable?
I can share one with you, and this happened quite a few years ago. You had talked about making sure that your computers are safe against hacking.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a customer that had his computer hacked into, and he had saved all of his passwords into an Excel file that was not file protected. And the fraudster was able to get a hold of his log into his online banking because it had his user ID and his password there, and send money to themselves through the ACH network.
Did the guy lose all of his money, or did he get it back?
We were able to get it all back for him.
Wow.
Because consumers are protected.
What about international transfers?
The ACH system currently does not work for international transfers. The only way to do an international transfer is through a wire transfer.
And that's the SWIFT network?
That's the SWIFT network, correct.
I remember reading statistics published by the government as to the level of fraud on the SWIFT network, and it was pretty high. It was up there.
There is a lot of fraud out there for that as well. You and I have talked a little bit about some of the things that go on out there, and one of them is where they get normal people to accept funds in from a fraudulent transaction and then wire those funds overseas.
Yeah, they're called money mules, right?
That's exactly right.
How do they recruit these people? Is this those emails that you see where you can make money?
It's the emails, sometimes on some of the job searches networks that are out there, that they'll be listed, work from home, a lot of people get caught up in these types of frauds.
What happens to somebody who ends up as a money mule, but they didn't know they were involved in fraud?
Well, if they're involved in fraud, they could still be liable for either the fraudulent transaction and also punishable under criminal.
So if they thought they were doing a legitimate service of transferring funds, some kind of banking thing through some, work-at-home deal,
mm-hmm.
they could still be held responsible for that?
They could still be held responsible for that.
And they might have to actually pay the money out of their own account?
Correct.
Wow, that means you could potentially lose your home.
Always make sure you ask a lot of questions and you know who you're working for.
Wow, I think I'll leave the banking to the professionals.
I think that's a good idea.
You know, wow. You mentioned earlier about putting your name and phone and address and everything on the checks, but you know, these days almost anybody can get your address off the internet, even your phone number for the most part. How does it protect people to, you know, reduce the information you're giving out?
Well, I had actually said that on your checks, that information is, you know, your name, your address. One of the suggestions that I give the consumers is to put just their first initial and their full last name on there. And that, you know, kind of limits what type of information is out there. I know for my own signature, you can't tell, you know, when I sign it, what my name is.
So if I was faking a check and your checks just say, you know, C.Hayes, I would just make it say C.Hayes. So how does that actually help?
Because when I sign my name, I do sign my full name. And, you know, you'll be able to tell that on the check itself.
Okay. Now, I've had checks that, and this doesn't happen often, usually the checks get returned, that I forgot to endorse.
Mm-hmm.
I filled it all in and then just forgot to endorse and it went through anyway. Do people actually look at these checks or is it all done by computer these days?
Pretty much it's all done by computer these days. Larger transactions tend to be looked at, you know, depending upon your normal pattern of behavior. So if you normally write out checks for $1,000 and all of a sudden the check goes through for $5,000, it's going to kick up a red flag and the bank's going to look at that. You know, but if you're a business, and this tends to happen a lot of times to businesses that writes out large amount of checks or large dollar amount of checks, those things are going to kind of fly under the radar. And that's why you need to be vigilant and make sure that you're looking at your accounts, you know, using online banking, using the alerts. Those are things that you can use to protect yourself.
So number one, look at your statements.
Number one is look at your statement.
Understand the statements. And as soon as you identify anything that is questionable, go to the bank and ask.
Go to the bank immediately. You know, a lot of times customers will come in and say, oh, you know, I don't remember writing this and I can't tell what this particular item is. And most of the time it's ACH. And, you know, maybe to the electric company or to the phone company. And those are things that are easily explained. And the customers usually leave and they say, oh, that makes sense for me. But if you notice something that you don't recognize, definitely come to the bank immediately.
You heard the computer corner earlier, right?
Yeah.
All right. What do you think is going to actually end up happening to that school district? They lost $400,000.
Well, you know, in normal cases, they are able to reverse ACH transactions, but it depends. If the fraudsters had closed that account, then, you know, the difficulty is trying to reverse a transaction against the closed account.
Well, the bank did reverse some of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the crook stole $700,000, and they were able to retrieve all but $400,000.
My question would be, what, you know, with the other $400,000, what, where did it go? How was the transfer made? And, you know, were those accounts closed?
Well, a lot of the money immediately leaves the country. Even if it's coming back to the country somehow, they'll run it through out of the country into countries that are hard to trace things through.
Correct.
And just as an aside, I'm going to tell people that there are problems out there with crooks, especially in Eastern Europe. In Bulgaria, a virus researcher was recently abducted, and nobody knows if he's alive or dead or being held captive simply because he was being too successful at stopping the crooks. And, you know, this is really starting to heat up. There's big, big money involved, and, you know, this was just a virus researcher. You know, he wasn't making big money, but he was costing these crooks tens of millions of dollars, so he disappeared.
Wow.
Luckily, nothing like that has happened in this country, you know, there's big money involved, and where there's big money, there's always somebody willing to do something about it. Okay, well, you're listening to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. Right now, you can get 1 year of antivirus protection for your Windows computer at the low price of $24.95 at www.cyber.com. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Frozen pipes, water damage. Don't leave yourself at the mercy of your insurance company. Call Hillis Public Adjusters. We represent you, the policyholder. Hillis negotiates directly with your insurance company to get you the most money you're entitled to, maybe thousands of extra dollars. And the Hillis fee is based on a percentage of the settlement. It costs you nothing until your claim is settled. It's that simple. You wouldn't be your own lawyer. So why negotiate directly with your insurance company? Call 1-800-HILLIS-1. When you have a claim, your insurance company is the last place to call because they want to settle the claim for as little as possible. That's why you should call Hillis Public Adjusters. They'll appraise the damage, do all the paperwork, and negotiate your settlement. If your home or business was damaged, call Hillis Public Adjusters anytime, day or night, at 1-800-HILLIS-1. Why settle for less? Call Hillis first. Call 1-800-HILLIS-1.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power, then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. Between the Minutes reaches a large listening audience throughout the Tri-State area with 50,000 watts of power. You could increase your selling power by advertising on the Between the Minutes program. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
When disaster strikes with a vengeance, Americans strike back with generosity. Thanks to your monetary donations, the Salvation Army is there from the very beginning and remains until the healing is complete, serving the physical and emotional needs of disaster victims and emergency responders. Give today at 1-800-SAL-ARMY or SalvationArmyUSA.org and help the Salvation Army continue doing the most good.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of Town Watch Integrated Services, and Philadelphia needs you. We would like you to join the Town Watch Group or start a Town Watch Group in your community. To get in touch with me, you can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can go to our website, www.townwatch.net, or you can go to philadelphia.gov, Philadelphia website, and put in Town Watch, and you will find us and fill out an information slip. Philadelphia needs you. The impact on the quality of life, and help us to make sure that Philadelphia is a safer city. 215-686-1459. Thank you.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Come on. Yeah.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM, or go to www.betweentheminutes.com and hit the Listen Live button to stream the live feed. The phone lines are open if you have a question for Charles in Pennsylvania, 610-667-9697. That's 610-667-9697. In New Jersey, toll-free, 1-877-667-9697. Again, in New Jersey, 1-877-667-9697. Okay, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Sometimes I write a check, and I don't even get an image of the check back with my statement. What's that?
That is ACH. So what happens is when you write that paper checkout, the company that you wrote it to has the ability to turn that into an electronic transaction. Okay, and what they do basically is they run it through a machine that transfers it to an ACH file. And then what they do is they'll send it to the financial institution that you wrote the check from. And they send it to us basically with the information on the check number, the dollar amount of the check, and then the name of the company that you wrote it to. And that's how it should show up on your statement. It should show up, you know, the date the item cleared, the name of the company that you wrote it to, the check number, and the dollar amount.
So even though I didn't do an ACH, I did a check.
Correct.
It got turned into an ACH.
Correct. And most companies have started to go to this. The larger ones, your electric companies, your phone companies, those companies started to go to this because it makes it easier and less expensive for them to process.
So what stops anybody from doing that?
Well, number one, they have to have the ability to create ACH transactions.
But they can do that by just buying a package.
They can. They can do that by buying a package, and that's how the fraudsters, will perform these transactions against, you know, either a business or a consumer.
Well, how does ACH actually work?
Basically, the file is created. The financial institution needs to be a member of the ACH group, and what they do is they transfer electronically dollar amounts versus sending a physical paper check. Years ago, before Check 21. They used to ship the checks out, on a truck to a plane, and if somebody wrote you a check from California, they'd fly it out to California. And then that financial institution would get that paper item, they'd turn around, send back the information, and it could take, 5-10 days for the bank to actually get the money for the check. Today with ACH, usually it goes through in between 2 and 3 business days.
I guess I never really thought about it, but, there's millions and millions of checks being written, and you're saying a truck and airplanes. I just realized that has to be a lot of fuel, a lot of handling.
Well, they say every year that paper checks use over 674 million gallons of fuel and contribute more than 3.6 million tons of greenhouse gases.
That's just to move it around, not to manufacture the checks or anything?
Correct, just to move them around.
Wow, so I guess I understand why everybody wants to go to electronic checks.
Well, yeah, and it does make it less expensive for the companies as well. Normally with companies like an electric company is going to process, millions and millions and millions of checks. Generally they're charged a fee to do that by their financial institution. If they're going to do it as an ACH, they're a lot less expensive. To give you an idea, the average, I think, last time I checked, was about 50 cents to clear a paper check and about 3 cents to clear an ACH transaction.
Now, the old wire system, which is, I understand, basically an antique, is still in existence?
It's still in existence and still used today.
And who uses that versus ACH?
Wire transfers, generally, companies that need to do larger type payments will use a wire transfer system. If you need to transfer funds overseas, you need to use the wire transfer system. Or if they need to get the funds there that same day, because ACH will take at least 1 business day, but it can be anywhere from 1 to 3 business days.
And these are separate networks. One is the ACH network and one is the SWIFT network?
Well, the SWIFT would be for overseas transactions.
Only overseas.
They call it the FedWire, which is the wire transfer network.
Okay. So who operates these networks?
The federal government.
The federal government operates all of them or just the ACH?
They operate the wire system, and then the ACH is actually a conglomerate. It's the national...
A check clearinghouse,
Clearinghouse, yeah. Association. It's a group of banks and financial institutions that clear checks.
Is there anything new coming down the road?
Not that I'm aware of right now, but I think some of the things you may see is the ability to do ACH transactions overseas.
What's a credit card check? I mean, I see people talking about it all the time. Some credit cards give me checks constantly that I have to keep ripping up, and instead of having my bank on it, it has their credit card number. What is this?
They usually send those out to try to encourage people to use their card rather than using the physical card.
So basically it's for like paying a bill where they don't accept a credit card.
Correct. They can use it to transfer balances. You know, if they have a higher balance, you know, credit card that has a larger balance on it, they can use that to transfer balances or maybe to pay a bill to a place that doesn't accept credit cards.
And what's the risk with that? Can there be ACH fraud with that?
Not ACH, but that paper check is subject to fraud. You know, if they mail them in the mail to you and somebody got a hold of that mail and was able to write out a check, you wouldn't be liable, but it would still be, you know, subject to fraud as well.
Wow. It just looks like the world is becoming more and more a dangerous place as it becomes smaller and smaller. We're being more and more exposed to these criminals that are now operating on a global scale. And, you know, some of them are actually, you know, very young. I mean, I was reading where they captured some of these guys, and it was a guy was 22, 23 years old, very well educated. He was actually Ukrainian, but they caught him in London.
Okay.
And he was operating with people operating out of New York State. It's, you know, the that wouldn't have been possible before the internet.
I definitely agree with that. And I think, you know, as the internet allows us to make our life easier, it also does allow additional fraud to come into play. But, you know, if customers make sure that they review their account statements, that's number one. Number two, use the online banking system to check on transactions on a daily basis or even a weekly basis. Or they can use the phone system. A lot of banks offer where they can dial in to a 1-800 number and are able to check on their transactions that way as well.
You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. Please visit our website at www.betweentheminutes to sign up for the show's newsletter and get the latest information about the show and its guests. The phone lines are open at 610-667-9697, and in New Jersey, 1-877-667-9697. Okay, back to you. I understand that you occasionally visit civic groups and things like that and do a talk about fraud?
Correct. I have done talks with groups for you know, groups of elderly people or other types of groups. I've spoken at the Lions Club, the Rotary, those types of things. And, you know, given speeches either about fraud, about, you know, safe deposit boxes, which tends to be a very complicated issue. And a lot of people find enjoyment from that and also get a lot of education from it as well.
Okay. If somebody wanted to get you to come out, how would they do that?
They could contact me at the Conshohocken branch of Citizens Bank. My phone number there is 610-260-2271.
Just repeat it for people.
Sure. It's 610-260-2271.
And, of course, if they want to bring you money, that's okay?
That's okay, too.
Okay. All right. So we're continuing our conversation about fraud. What else is common in fraud right now? We talked about ACH. We talked about checks. We talked a little bit about skimming and credit cards.
I think debit card fraud tends to be the other big thing. You know, consumers will tend to use their debit card online. There's a huge amount of online fraud out there. Most of it is generated through email, where they'll receive an email saying it's from their bank, it's from, you know, E-Trade or eBay, those types of things. They click on the fraudulent email, push in their information, their user ID and their password, and the fraudsters get a hold of that information. So one of the things that I often tell customers is whenever you get an email from something that you weren't expecting, even if it's a company that you deal with, go to their site directly. Do not use the links that are inside the email. That's how a lot of fraudsters get a hold of your personal information.
What about these companies on the internet that supposedly stand between you, your bank, and somebody you're paying money to? An example is PayPal, which is actually owned by eBay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a million of these outfits out there now, and most of them I've never heard of. How do you know if you can trust them or not trust them?
Ask questions. You know, in most cases, those types of companies are good. PayPal's one of them, you know, that I personally use. And, you know, I have a separate card set up just for my online purchases, and I use PayPal to do that. And, you know, one of the interesting things I think that consumers can do is if they have questions, go to their financial institution and ask.
Okay. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. Join us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. We have a caller on the phone. Hello, are you there?
I am. This is Jack. I'm from Berwyn.
Hiya, Jack.
You were talking about those checks that come from the credit card companies in the mail for, like, balance transfers, and I get a lot of them. Is there a way to get them to stop sending them?
I think that there is. If you contact your credit card company and ask them to take you off of their mailing lists for that purpose, they should oblige.
I tried that once. I think I'll have to try it again. They just seem to want to get my money.
Yeah, and especially today with the amount of mail fraud that's out there, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want them mailing checks to my home.
Jack, you have any other questions?
No. Oh, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. You know, that does, you know, bring up another question. What are these credit reporting bureaus? There's TransUnion, there's, who are they?
The three major ones are TransUnion, Equifax.
I can't remember the third one.
But
my understanding is that if you call these people up and talk to them, they can actually help you with fraud. So if you have some kind of identity fraud, you can call them. They'll put a warning on your report, and that helps you deal with fraud in some way.
Basically, what it does is it doesn't allow anybody to apply for credit, including yourself, without them calling you on a predetermined number that you give, and you have to have a password of some sort that allows that application to go through. So that's one way that they can protect themselves.
Have you seen these ads for these companies that claim that they protect you from credit fraud?
I have. I don't really know too much about them.
Yeah. There's been a number of suits over that, because the way one of those companies worked was they just put a credit fraud alert on your accounts.
Okay.
The way the rest of them work is they have a computer set up that just keeps checking your credit report constantly, and if it notices anything that changed, then they send it to you, and you have to determine if that change is a legitimate or not legitimate.
Yeah, and one of the things that, and this is something that Congress did, is you're allowed to get a credit report annually from each of the three major credit bureaus. So one of the suggestions that I often give to customers is you can call one up every 4 months and check your credit, and they won't send you your credit score, but they will send you a list of the open accounts that you have and the accounts that you've closed out on your credit report.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show, brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
When disaster strikes with a vengeance, Americans strike back with generosity. Thanks to your monetary donations, the Salvation Army is there from the very beginning and remains until the healing is complete, serving the physical and emotional needs of disaster victims and emergency responders. Give today at 1-800-SAL-ARMY or SalvationArmyUSA.org and help the Salvation Army continue doing the most good.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, talking to you about Cybersoft. Cybersoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Having 20 years of experience, Cybersoft protects many platforms, including Microsoft Windows. So for the best antivirus security, visit www.cyber.com. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. For the best in protection, remember, in any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333 or email sales at betweentheminutes.com.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. Check us out on the web at www.BetweenTheMinutes.com. Our guest is Charles Hayes of Citizens Bank. We're talking about banking fraud, and you gave us an interesting story. Do you have any more?
Yeah, you know, one of the big things I think that happens, and this is something that has happened so often that there's no particular story involved with it, is automatic payment coming out of an account for a certain dollar amount. So let's say that it was $50 a month. And the customer realizes it, comes into the bank, puts the fraud alert on it, signs the dispute forms, we get the money back. And then the following month, the same company sends in another transaction for a lower dollar amount. So what happens a lot of times with our ability to put stop payments on, we do it by dollar amount and name of the company. And if they change the dollar amount, it makes it difficult for the system to recognize that fraudulent transaction is trying to come through again.
I actually had a problem like that, but it was with a credit card, and I told the company, I don't want your product anymore. They stopped sending the product. It was one of those, like, book of the month club.
Yep.
It wasn't that. It was something like that. And, you know, they were charging me, like, $19.95 every month. And I went to the credit card company, and I said, you know, listen, these are not authorized charges. You know, don't accept them. Their reply was, well, we can't do anything about it. And what I said was, okay, fine, close the account and give me another one. Well, they closed the account, they gave me another credit card, and then they helped me out by, when the charges came in on the old card, putting them on the new card.
Great.
And what I ended up having to do was actually close my account at that bank and open a credit card at a different bank in order to solve the problem. It was very irritating because I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, and we've had that same situation. And when I'm talking about on the checking account side through the debit card, where we actually have to close the account and open up a new one in order to prevent that fraud from happening.
Do they still do this, helpful thing of moving it from the old number to the new number, or do they bounce it back to people now?
They will bounce it back, especially if it's through the debit card.
Okay, wow. My paycheck is direct deposit. How does that work?
Basically, direct deposit is an ACH transaction. So we've been talking about ACH fraud and the things that happen with that. But direct deposit is an excellent way to get paid. It goes through the ACH, the automated clearinghouse. And what happens is you get your funds immediately as cash on the day that you're supposed to get paid. Normally they come in around 12:01 a.m. You know, and the banks don't open up until 8 o'clock, or my branch in particular opens at 7:30, and customers are able to come in and get their funds, you know, right away at that time. Or if they have an ATM card, they can usually go to the ATM around 1 a.m. and they're able to have access to their funds then as well.
So that's why most people are getting direct deposit these days.
Well, and I think for businesses, it's an excellent way to, again, help prevent some fraud. You know, if you've got paper checks that are rolling around out there to your employees and they lose it, they misplace it, they leave it on their counter, and maybe the cleaning people or a friend of theirs takes the check and tries to negotiate it. Direct deposit kind of solves all those problems when it comes to fraud.
Well, it's not their friend if it's a friend taking the check, you know.
Well, it does happen, though.
Although the cleaning people, well, I guess they're cleaning them out in a different way.
Bingo.
Yeah, okay. course, I think we all read in the paper recently where there was a woman in New Jersey who owned a small cleaning company that cleaned for people, and she was doing exactly that. Not only was she stealing money from them, but she was also stealing valuables. So, you know, that's it is a difficult thing, and I do understand. So you're basically saying at least some of the things you should do is not leave checks lying around where they can see them or maybe see them through a window. Don't leave your credit cards lying around. Put them in a drawer. Same thing with your checkbook. Put it in a drawer.
Correct. And you know, don't if you don't have to carry your checkbook around with you, don't. Definitely don't leave it in the car. And I've had a couple of situations with customers that left their checkbook in the car and had their car broken into. And, you know, fraudulent checks were written out to different people. Now, you know, the customers were not responsible for those transactions because they were fraudulent. But, you know, a little bit of a pound of prevention is worth, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
And I know people who do that. And I keep saying, what are you going to do if they steal your car?
Yeah, you know, you're going to have to put a hold on all those checks. And if they have your checkbook register in there, what check number was the last one that you wrote out? A lot of people won't know that without the register.
Yeah, well, his reply to me was the car's worth more than what's in the wallet. So, and I don't know. Anyway, you're listening to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. Right now, you can get 1 year of antivirus protection for your Windows computer at the low price of $24.95 at www.cyber.com. We're talking with Charles Hayes. He's the branch manager of the Conshohocken office of Citizens Bank. Okay, let's continue. Is this problem everywhere in the United States?
I definitely think that it's everywhere in the United States.
And it's getting worse or getting better?
It seems to be getting worse, and I think part of the reason for that is it's being reported more. You know, in the past, if it was a smaller transaction, you know, customers may not have brought it to the bank's attention. You know, we were talking about that $19.95 charge that was coming through every month. Sometimes the transactions are $2 or $3, but they've been going on for years. And maybe it was something that the customer signed up for and forgot about, or it was supposed to be, you know, a one-year free trial, and then all of a sudden they start popping on a monthly service charge for that. You know, is that type of case particularly fraud? Not necessarily, but if you notice transactions like that on your account, definitely bring it to the bank's attention.
And what can the bank do about it?
We can reverse the transaction out. We can find out. A lot of times there's not a lot of information on an ACH transaction, so it may have initials for the company rather than the name of the full company. And we can find out, you know, what the company is. Oftentimes there's a telephone number behind the ACH transaction. We can call them up with you and say, hey, you know, what type of company is this? What is this particular charge for?
I know that I've had fraud on credit cards in the past, and I'll call the credit card company up and I'll say, who's this company, XYZ in Austin, Texas, for $24.95? I didn't buy anything in Austin, Texas. Sometimes it turns out to be a legitimate amount. And what it is I bought a book or something for $24.95 from a company in Pennsylvania, but they're processing their stuff through a clearinghouse in Austin, Texas. I don't know who they are, but it was legitimate. Sometimes it turns out that I have no idea who these people are at all. And the credit card company, which is a bank, basically says, you know, we know that they list themselves as a magazine subscription service. And that's all they know. So what's that?
Well, I think that those types of things happen too, where, you know, you have transactions that you don't recognize, or they add on to your account, and it would be from something else that you initiated, and now it's time to come into the bank or call the credit card company and let them know.
Okay, you've been listening to Between the Minutes, the newest talk radio show on 1540 AM. Thank you for listening to us. Please join us again next week. Thank you.